Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvader.
Welcome, everyone. I'm so excited for you to meet our guest today. Douglas Vermeeren is considered by many to be the modern-day Napoleon Hill for his extensive research into the lives of more than 400 of the top achievers of today. I'm thrilled to have him with us to share what he's learned over the years from all the interviews he's done, as well as hear about his program, Personal Power Mastery. Welcome to the podcast, Doug.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you, Pat.
Yeah, I'm very excited. So what I would really like to know, because I've done a little reading about you and how you did the research of the lives of top achievers, and similar to what Napoleon Hill did, and that no one's done that since then until you. So what inspired you to do that?
Well, I think really it does come back to Napoleon Hill. When I was in college, I ran into the book Think and Grow Rich.
Yes.
And as I read the book, it was funny because I was actually working in California selling pest control door to door, of all things. And so not an inspiring day. And so when I'd have my breaks, I'd obviously try and get inspired by reading Think and Grow Rich. And naturally, like many of the people probably listening in here, the principles really did change my life. They elevated me to another level. But I didn't want to stop there. I was actually, to be quite frank, a little jealous of Napoleon Hill, who had these relationships with people like Henry Ford and Thomas Edison, mm-hmm. and some of the world's top people of his day. Mm-hmm. And so I decided I wanted to do that. And I started kind of knocking on the doors of those that I had access to. And, very early in that, one of the gentlemen that I had started to interview and had a relationship with, he said, you know what, out of all the questions you've asked me, there's one you haven't asked me so far that will change everything. And I said, well, what's that? And he said, well, you haven't asked me who else I know that you should talk to. And so I said, well, okay, yeah, who else do you know? And I started asking that question every single time. And soon then thereafter, I was being introduced to, Grammy award-winning musicians, Oscar-nominated actors and directors, and, Olympians that had won gold medals, and, business leaders that were worth billions. And in fact, one of them eventually became a personal mentor to me, and he was one of the four founders of FedEx. So that question just really changed my life. And it's been something that, of course, I'm asking even to this day.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about what you do right now?
And yeah, absolutely.
Kind of the why you do it.
Yeah, I guess the essence of what I do is, as we talked about, I did these interviews with 400 of the world's top achievers, and it's probably quite a few more than that now, but 400 was, sort of the number Napoleon Hill had hit, so that's sort of the one that gets the publicity. But mm-hmm. most likely, I'm probably close to about 700 interviews now with people, and I still have really good relationships with a lot of them, so they carry on as my mentors. But what I found for me as a college student, using the information that they shared with me, I was able to turn my life around. I came from a middle-class family. There was really no, entrepreneurial experience there. My dad was a construction worker. My mother babysat kids in the home. And so by using these lessons, I was able to transform my life. And in a very short period of time as a college student, even my first business, in 6 months, I did $1.6 million in business. And it was just a massive change. And naturally, yeah, it was like, from a middle-class family that had never heard the word $1 million, let mm-hmm. alone had it in the bank, this was a brand mm-hmm. new experience. And so I started receiving invites to come out and speak and share some of these success ideas of what I'd learned. And I just really found that as I did that, I saw some amazing changes in the lives of, the people that we taught and those around me. And it just really was for me, a gift to see people able to level up their life. And so from there, what I did and continue to do today is I developed a program called Personal Power Mastery. And those three words really explain it all. Personal, because your success is really up to you in the end. Mm-hmm. No gift that anyone can give you or any saying that they can have or any speech that you hear will change your life until you decide to take advantage of it. So you being involved is absolutely important. The second word, power, is absolutely essential as well, because quite frankly, we all have massive power within us. There's a brilliance that's within us, and it's far more powerful than most of us really understand. And our life can change really, and one decision later, you can be an entirely new person. And lastly, I love that word mastery, because mastery really is a matter of kind of getting into the flow. You know, when we're really dialed into what our brilliance is and the vision for our life is, and the things that excite us, the things that make us a master, it really becomes, how should we say, less of an effort to stay motivated, right? Once
yes,
we have the momentum
exactly.
of the mastery, motivation, like I always say, it's harder to get motivation than it is momentum, because most people, once they're on a roll, they can continue to keep it going.
Yeah.
And I guess the final part of your question, the reason why, naturally I have several reasons why, but one of the biggest is it's just such a powerful feeling. And anybody in your audience today that has had this experience or is involved in, you know, transformation with individuals knows that it's, number one, very addictive to be helpful.
I know it is. It is, truly.
And I also find that for me, in order to maintain my success and to keep going, I find that I'm first a learner, a student, and then I'm a teacher. But unless I actually have a place to teach it and share it, sometimes it's difficult to stay in that learner mode. And so for me, because it's important to be a constant sponge and learner, my motivation to be so is knowing that I'm going to have to share it. I'm going to have to teach it. Mm-hmm. And so it really keeps me dialed in. And naturally, like most of the audience members listening to, it's really, you know, my goal and my, I guess you could say, mission is to create a legacy of doing good and serving wherever I am. Not just so my family can, remember who I was and recognize that that's a big part of it. But also for me, my sense of worth and satisfaction come a lot from my ability to serve and lift others.
Mm-hmm. And did I see that you're going to be in Toronto this weekend?
In fact, yes. And funny enough, we've got a whole pile of fun events that are slated over the next little while. I know you're in the U.S. Our very next event, we're doing a kind of a special sneak a peek preview of the Personal Power Mastery material in Florida, and we're going to be there on September the 14th. If you've got people in your audience who are listening in, feel free to go onto our website, Personal Power Mastery Event, and you can get actually a free ticket there to attend that event.
Oh, great. Yes. Well, I live not too far from Toronto. I mean,
we'd love to have you.
I'd love to come. This just isn't, this is my mother's 90th birthday weekend, and so on Saturday, there's a big celebration.
Very cool. Well, you have to tell her happy birthday from us.
Yes, I will. So, can you tell me a little bit about what your vision is for your company?
Yeah, I think for us, again, you know, our goal is always to help as many people as we possibly can all over the world. And really, my goal is it's not necessarily to, you know, place myself as this massive leader or guru or anything like that. That's not my goal. My goal really is to help other people, just ignite the brilliance within them and find their best self and inspire other people to, you know, rise to better and more important opportunities for themselves. In fact, that's one of my favorite things to ever hear is, you know, that someone that we've helped has now been able to make a difference in the lives of others.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the big initiatives that we're doing, naturally, we run the Personal Power Mastery Program, around the world, but we've also now just started to implement it into schools. And that school program is actually offered for free. So wherever there's like a middle school or a junior high and a high school or a college or university, our program is available to them at no cost at all. We'll come in and we're happy to do that. So I guess is my goal. I want to see more individuals at these early decision-making periods in their life be able to make some powerful decisions to help them become, you know, let's steal from the Army phrase, be all they can be, right?
Yeah, I love that idea. That is fantastic. So when is that going to be ready to go, or are you doing it already?
We're doing it already, in fact. If you go to Personal Power Mastery School Programs, .com, it'll tell you a little bit more about that. We've been doing that actually for a couple of years. It's now just something that we really want to expand. We've got, various corporate and public partners that are, you know, prepared to help us fund the program and make it happen. So it's just giving us this opportunity to take these tools and take them to the next level, which, you know what, coincidentally, I really like, because it's so funny. I can't tell you how many times in personal development where I've heard people say that, wow, they ought to teach these principles in schools. Well, we're doing it.
Yay, I love it. And so what's the delivery mechanism?
Well, we've got a few different ways that we do it. Obviously, we have it where, you know, we prefer to come in live to schools, and oftentimes they'll bring us in as a speaker for, like, you know, assemblies or pep rallies or these kind of things. That's personally my favorite. But naturally, we have recorded materials on video and audio, and also books and so forth that we also bring to the school systems. But I still always love live. There's nothing more exciting than connecting with the students, right?
Yes, I know. That's really great.
Oh, yeah. And I should mention, we are looking for trainers to represent our brand, you know, throughout the world. Kind of like what you see with, you know, Focal Point is doing it, Action Coach is doing it,
yes.
John Maxwell is doing it, where they certify trainers to teach their content and so forth. We actually have a program right now for that too. And the cool thing is, you know, not only can you teach the personal power mastery material, but we've got a variety of things, including our movies like The Opus and The Treasure Map and The Gratitude Experiment and other movies coming, where you also have the opportunity to represent those in your area, which is kind of cool because we've got all the speakers from The Secret involved in these projects, right?
So yeah.
It's a good way to kind of leverage their authority, if you will, to grow your own brand.
Yes, that's a really great plan. I will make sure that I share that information. So one of the things that I like to ask all of the people that I talk to are the top three traits that you see in individuals that when you meet them or you work with them, that you know if they have these traits that they will achieve their dreams and soar to success. So can you share your three?
Well, that's a great question. And again, these are, I guess, things that I've also seen in common with these 400 people that I interviewed. So I can tell you exactly what they are. And I think the very first one is that they've got a very clear purpose. They know exactly what they want. And, you know, I always say that a goal that's specific and clear becomes attainable and near. If you don't know what you want, you can't hit it. And so, you know, they really know what they want. And I think a big challenge that a lot of people have is they can quickly identify what they don't want, right? Like they can easily tell you that, you know, my life's not going great because of this, this, and this, and this, and this. But if you ask them, what is it that you really want? Many people struggle with that. They've not taken the time to really define that. So I think that's the first thing that anybody needs to do. You really have to have, how is it Stephen Covey says, begin with the end in mind.
Yes, right.
And I think that that's essential. The second thing I think is really important is that most people actually in life settle for what's happening rather than make a deliberate choice of what they want. And as a result, they become reactive rather than proactive. And what I mean by reactive is that they give their power outside themselves. So in other words, if it's a rainy day, oh darn, shoot, that's the kind of experience I'm going to have. Or if they are having financial woes or they lose their job or whatever, they let that experience dictate them. Most people, they find their identity and the problems that they're currently experiencing, which is not a proactive point of view, and it's not one that will empower you. And so I define proactivity as this. It's the ability to own a situation and the ability to recognize that you can change the situation.
Right.
So proactivity really starts, and I guess a neat little phrase that we actually have, funny enough, on our banners at Personal Power Mastery and a little wristband that we share with people. It says, if you own it, you can change it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem that a lot of people have is they're not prepared to own their problems. They're prepared to give them away or create an excuse that absolves them apparently of the problem entirely. So if you can own your problem by being proactive, say, that's mine. I created it. This is my situation. I'm in charge and I can also change it. And recognize that ability to change it, all of a sudden, now you're on the way to creating success. So proactivity, wow, in Personal Power Mastery, we spend a whole module on just how to recognize if you're reactive versus proactive. And to be honest with you, we all say in our heart, yeah, I'm a proactive person, I'd like to be. Truth of the matter is if you look at the continuum of, you know, 10 being the most proactive and 1 being the most reactive, for different things in our life, we might score a 10. Other things, we might score a 2. Other things, we might get a 5. And so it's a matter of kind of recognizing that, because once we have awareness, we can change it, right?
Yes.
We can fix it.
Yes.
In fact, just as a side note, one of the things that I find, or in fact, even in the last personal power development that we just had, we had a lady who was talking about a relationship she had with her son, that it wasn't quite on target where she wanted it to be, that, you know, they just weren't connecting. And as we looked at her proactive positioning on that relationship, there was a lot of stuff she wasn't owning. was a lot of stuff that she was saying, you know, he should change before I change.
Or
she was letting other aspects of her life, whether it be business or career or whatever it was, get in the way of that relationship. And so immediately now that she identified that she had control over that, if you own it, you can change it.
Mm-hmm.
She began to recognize that there were some things that she could do, and immediately she started making different decisions.
Yeah.
And immediately, of course, new decisions, things change.
Yes, exactly.
And I guess looking at the third thing that you asked me about there, that final thing, it is decision. And I think that that's the big problem that a lot of people are missing when it comes to getting to success. They may have clarity of what they want. They may even say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to own that I'm the challenge here, or I've got a challenge here. But they don't make a decision to really change things. And decisions are a permanent position, or how should we say, a permanent conclusion after weighing the evidence, so to speak. Once you know what you want, you make this conclusion, and that is the conclusion. It's not up for debate. It's not up to be reevaluated. It is now a clear decision that you will begin. And decisions are never decisions unless there's an action attached.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the other thing with decisions that I tell people, it's like if you've got two cars in the garage already, you have to get rid of one before you've got room for a new one.
Right.
So the problem is most people don't have the strength to decide what they don't want and make a decision to get rid of an old habit before they can bring in a successful habit.
Yeah.
Like everybody's glass of water is already full. You got to get rid of some water if you want some new stuff in.
Yeah.
And that's really what decisions is about. It's really kind of recognizing what's most important in your life and sacrificing what you really maybe are distracted with short term to plug something that you really want long term that's more important to you in.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. too many people spend time with the trivial.
Yes, that is so true. And then they get hooked on that and they're like constantly focusing on that instead of what they
should. Absolutely. And here's the other aspect of that, I guess, if we're looking at it, is that everybody gets according to the standards, expectations, and values that they have. Those three things, standards, expectations, and values. And, you know, it's kind of like if I could use the example of a teenage boy. His mother has a different standard on what a clean room looks like than he does.
Right.
He can live with that standard, and he'll settle for that. And that's kind of why a lot of people, you know, I see them, you know, at our seminars or others, they say, you know, I'd really like to have XYZ as my dream. This is what I'd like. But their standards are not at the level of XYZ. And so therefore, they're not experiencing that. So one of the first things that we try to do is help people recognize that if they have a standard shift, if they'll level up their standards, then they can achieve that. But leveling up your standards requires oftentimes a little bit more hard work and commitment and organization and skills and learning and things than they're currently experiencing. So they need to level everything up to level up the standard,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
You know, okay. And as we talked about with expectations and values, here's one of the other things, too, that I find really helpful is most people will actually perform according to the expectations of others around them more than they will for themselves. In fact, you know, we've had a lot of mothers come through our course, and without exception, they actually give a lot to others before they'll give to themselves, right? Like they would
right.
do more for their kids than they do for themselves. And it's not just mothers. Everybody does that. So that's why it's also so important when you're leveling up to increase the level of the peers that you're surrounding yourself with, because you'll do more for other people than you will for yourself. You'll do more to win their approval and their appreciation and their acceptance than you will for yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly. So do you think that's why having a coach helps people also when they're meeting their leveling up for?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think a coach can see things that you don't necessarily recognize. But, you know, one thing that I think is really important, and, you know, one of my friends, I was talking with him about this idea of coaches a couple of years ago, Joseph McClendon III. You probably know of him. He's one of Tony Robbins' trainers and wrote the Awaken the Giant Within for African-Americans. But he said something that will always stick with me. I thought it was super full of wisdom when he said it. He said, if you look at Michael Jordan has a coach, but his coach has never done what Michael Jordan's done, like winning all these championships
right.
and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing Michael Jordan's coach could never be is a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a massive difference between mentors and coaches. Coaches can point out the flaws. They know the game. They know the techniques. But only a mentor can really give you the true power, because a mentor has been there. A mentor has done it.
Right.
And so I'm going to suggest get a coach. That's brilliant. but I think you also need to dial into a mentor.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because this is something we come across with personal power mastery. And what I've done, it's kind of interesting because a lot of the trainers and coaches and people that are out there, they're kind of teaching what they've learned in someone else's book, right?
They read
a bunch of books on success. And so when you attend their seminars, it's kind of like you're getting a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy of somebody else's notes who read Think and Grow Rich.
Right.
It almost always back to Think and Grow Rich. But the thing that I love about with personal power mastery, and I think our students appreciate the same thing, is that I'm not just telling you what somebody else's book said. And in fact, there's some things in the books out there that I totally disagree with, right? That are not going to help you get to success. Based on my interviews with 400 of the world's top achievers and then teaching this for the last decade and bringing it into my own life and as a college student doing $1.6 million in business and creating the life from, you know, the relationships that I want, the health situation that I want, the lifestyle that I want, getting all those things into place, I'm telling you right now, a lot of the success teachers that are out there and the books that are out there, many of them are just not sharing tools that work for real people, right? I mean, they're sharing a lot of really great ideas and a lot of motivational thoughts, but for real people to really do this in real life, there's a lot of tools that unfortunately they've never dialed into, and it's not correct. You know, people ask me sometimes, what's one of the big major differences that you see between kind of how goal setting and achievement happens and what kind of is being written about and what people are talking about. And there are some massive differences there. In fact, you know, this whole write it down, set a date, this whole SMART goal system that you hear about that HR people have been, you know, flogging for years. When I interviewed the top achievers, I found that most of them had really kind of no strategy like that at all. And so I was like, well, where did this come from? Right. And so I went and I did some research, and there was a book that I ran into that was published in 1789 that talked about how to get to your goals. Yeah, of all things. And what they said is that we humans are like an assembly line, that if you want X amount of widgets at the end, you do this, 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 and this, and this, and then at the end, you've got X amount of widgets. Well, there's two problems that I have with that. Number one is we are human beings, not human doings. And so if we've got to be so like task focused and do this, do this, do this, do this, you know, when we hit a rainy day and a tough day, even if you love what you do, there are still tough days.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you hit those days, it's, you know, if you're just focused on what you do, you very quickly lose inspiration and you peter out. In fact, one of my success interviews was Edward James Olmos, who you know as Commander Adama in Battlestar Galactica and a million and one other movies. And he said, some people say that success is doing the things that you don't like to do. But he said to him, success was finding something you love to do and then doing it even when it's tough. And I think that's hard for a lot of people. So this idea of the assembly line doesn't work there. The other problem with it is that, you know, on the assembly line, it requires you to become an expert at each of these little given tasks. If you're, you know, tightening a bolt, you got to become real good and fast at that. You're the bolt tightener, right? Next guy, maybe he's got to put a little bit of red paint on. So that guy gets really good at the red paint. And I don't know if you've read the book Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell.
Yes.
Brilliant book. So he says that it takes 10,000 hours to become an expert at any given thing. And so if you are an assembly line and there's, let's say, 25 steps to get to your goal, and you are required to become an expert on every one of those 25 steps, chances are really good you're never going to get it done, and you'll die with your music still in you. And so that just doesn't work. And funny enough, as I looked at the top 400 achievers, I discovered something that Aristotle and Socrates both talked about, but people seem to have forgotten. And it's called the law of probability. Aristotle said it this way. He said, that which is probable is most likely to happen. And that sounds kind of silly, right? If you say it out loud, you say, what do you mean? That would just probable is most like that. But Aristotle explained it this way. He said if he had a target that was, you know, for our purposes, let's say 100 yards away, and you had a bow and arrow and you were trying to hit that target in the center, well, your chances at 100 yards are kind of slim. But with every step you take towards that target, your chances increase. And that's how top achievers get to their goals. They look at how can I increase the probability that this will occur? And there's really four areas that they always magnify to be able to increase that probability. The first is in the people that they meet and surround themselves with. There are certainly people around you every day that can increase the chances that you will get to your goal just by who they know, what they know, the doors they can open, and everything else. So people is number one. The first way that you increase probability is leveling up the people around you towards that goal. Number two is what we call the knowledge. And you've heard the expression, you know, what you earn is a reflection of what you've learned. Mm-hmm. And there's certain things that you can learn that will totally change your game in a heartbeat. The problem with most entrepreneurs that I bump into, by the way, you know, the IRS says that the average entrepreneur right now maxes out at about $200,000 a year. That's their top earning.
Oh my goodness.
So if you want to get into the $1 million club, you've got to know some things that are different.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with most entrepreneurs is they think they know it all. So therefore, they always stay at the same income level, right? They're not prepared to invest in their education like they ought to. Mm-hmm. And the last way to increase this probability that you're going to occur is, or the last two anyways, is geography is one of them. Sometimes, like, for example, if you wanted to be involved in the movie business, living in the middle of, you know, Yemen somewhere herding goats is not the place to do it.
Right.
Right? You've got to move to either Los Angeles or New York where your chances and opportunities are there. And there are certain business opportunities that, I hate to say it, you can't get from sitting behind a computer on Facebook. You have to get out and meet people, or, you know what I mean? Right. Just to kind of put it in contemporary terms, right? Like, you need to get your geography correct for what you're trying to accomplish. And then lastly, I think this is maybe the most important, it's frequency. It's not enough to meet the right people once or get the right education once or get to the right place once. You've got to do it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And the more frequently your face appears near the right people or with the right education or in the right geography, the more likely and more probable it is that you're going to get to your goal. And that's the way top achievers did it, is they're basically like a dog that gets a hold of a bone and he will not let it go. Mm. And he'll do everything that they possibly can to increase that probability until what they're looking to achieve has occurred.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And that's something I've never heard anybody else teach, period. Okay. And I should mention, that's not just for goal setting. I've had people who've used this to overcome addictions or suicidal behavior, people that have been in real trouble, and they've just made these little steps. Who do I need to surround myself with that's going to make this a little bit better? Yeah. You know, what do I need to know and where do I need to go? And all of a sudden, their life is entirely in a new energetic level, right?
Yeah. Okay, great. I love it.
No problem.
Okay, so tell me, what is it that you love the very best about your life where you are right now?
Wow. You know what? This is kind of a bit of a trick question because because we just had two grandkids in the last 2 or 3 years now, I guess, born to us. They, you know, they spend a lot of time with us, and so they are my favorite all-time priority.
Yeah.
I see them daily, and, you know, I'm so blessed that the way that my life is structured, I have the ability to take a lot of time and be part of their lives every day.
Yeah.
And that's my very favorite part. You know, family is to me everything. And, you know, if you think about it, and maybe it's trite, we've all heard it before, but at the end of the day, when you look at, you know, the whole sum of your life or the whole legacy, if you will, that you're leaving, it really comes down to the love that you leave.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what I'm all about. And especially with my immediate family. But, you know, I think that overflows into, you know, students and connections and contacts. And let's put it this way, you know, most of those people are now family, maybe not by blood, but you just care about them so much that they become a high priority and important part of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. So tell me how people can reach you.
The best way is to head either over to our website, which is douglasvermeeren.com, or if that's tricky for you to spell, which it has been for some, just head over to personalpowermasteryevent.com. And that'll also lead you back to our site. And you can also, of course, find us on Facebook and social media, where we have a lot of free resources and tools that we share all the time to help people become better and live their best lives.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being with me today. And looking forward to having an opportunity to meet you sometime at one of your events.
Well, and thank you so much. I really appreciate the work you're doing.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Soar to Success podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit soartosuccessmagazine.com. and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.